here in Paris yesterday, spent a day in meetings with the devotees of the French Yatra. It was more or less just a review of what our Renouveau team has done over the last year here in France. And on one side, we're at the verge of some achievements, getting a restaurant, which is both a financial base and preaching base in Paris, relocating right of Paris Ishwara to a property that's owned by the society, making New Mayapur somewhat habitable for devotees who want to come there and do service by fixing up the first floor or the second floor of the chateau. And then, of course, our downtown preaching center here in Paris, which is doing very well, unfortunately, and Nitai Satchisuta Prabhu is going to have to take a few months sort of reprieve from heading up the Harinam and book distribution and preaching, because his wife's going undergoing some major surgery, and that means he has to be down in the New Mayapur area. So things are going on, although not as much as I had hoped, and that's most specifically due to the fact that, aside from Haripad Prabhu and myself and some devotees who had come from Hungary to do some shorter term service here, there's no one else really involved in reviving the French Yatra, and I fear that there's not enough power coming from without in order to really make that happen. I just got a telephone call from Indranil Maharaj in Delhi, and we were just discussing the sort of midterm, long-term strategy for Kazakhstan. Then he got caught off. I'm waiting for him to phone back. So anyway, I really sort of lost my train of thought about the French Yatra. And well, let me go on then about the Kazakhstan situation. And what we were discussing with Indranil Maharaj is that fighting a government, what to speak of a rich government, maybe something that, you know, long term is not something that Governor Maharaj can safely do in Kazakhstan, unless we get that type of indications from the government itself. In other words, unless they apologize for what happened, compensate us for our property, offer some kind of compromise. Anyway, we have to see whether that's going to happen. Anyway, here comes Maharaj. I'll get back to you all in a minute. Anyway, I'm back again. I'm really lost track of things we're talking about. First it was Paris, then Indranil Maharaj, and we spent quite some time again talking about what would be a long-term strategy for Kazakhstan, obviously facing up to a country who's really bent on taking away devotees' properties and rights is not an easy thing. And just to make it short, our conclusion was that we need to have some kind of strategy meeting down the line. And I can't get in touch with Governor Maharaj in Prague. But since he's also going back to Delhi, Governor Maharaj is in, Indranil Maharaj is in Delhi, maybe that from Kazakhstan I fly down there and we have some kind of discussion. Ultimately, Krishna, everything's in Krishna's hands. Krishna's our protector. No matter how much shelter we take from politicians, human rights activists, and so on, our unique faith is in Krishna. And who knows what Krishna's plan is? But by chanting Hare Krishna, depending on him, praying to him, perhaps that will be revealed to us. coup. Well, Barshana and UK, as well as the UK devotees, are planning to do some further protests, communications to different media. And in India, there's serious protests going on in all the major cities where we have centers. Devotees are marching, protesting, making known our concern to the media. And that's our immediate reaction, and we really, of course, have to react and make our voice known. Our devotees being just thrown out onto the street like that. And it's not a new thing. Devotees being put into difficulty is a phenomenon that's been taking place since time immemorial. Prahlad Maharaj, and we all know the story of Prahlad Maharaj, was put into difficulty over and over and over again in very extreme circumstances in order to prove and test his devotion, but also in order to show to devotees that even though devotees will also be in difficulty because that's the way of the material world, nonetheless, in the ultimate issue, Krishna comes to the rescue. But that doesn't mean that difficulties will not be there, torture will not be there. This is what devotees in Kazakhstan are experiencing at the present time. Pandavas, who are Krishna's eternal associates, to have to walk incognito, traveling from one forest to another, begging for a livelihood, living really like forest dwellers, as opposed to the kings that they were. And for a year and year and year on end, for 14 years. And that was already after they had lost everything that they had, regained it, lost it again, been exiled, having to fight a war in which they lost all of their loved ones to govern the world, and then only to once again walk away from it and give it all up. We really have to adjust to this reality, which is sometimes difficult for devotees to adjust to, and that is that we are in the material world, and this is the nature of the material world. It's Krishna's first instruction. Happiness and distress, it happens for everyone. And just because we're devotees, that does not mean that these things will not happen to us. We're also living in the world. But it's happening to us under Krishna's supervision, and it's happening to us in such a way that if we're in the proper consciousness, these things elevate us, purify us, and bring us closer and closer to Krishna, so that we ultimately go back home, back to Godhead, where these things don't happen. And we go back to Vaikuntha, where there is no fear. Therefore, devotees should neither artificially think that because they're Vaishnavas and Krishna is giving them protection, that nothing will happen to them, because that's not what history bears out, and that's not what our Shastras say. And on the other hand, they should not become embittered, thinking, well, if Krishna's not giving protection, then I'll just merge back into the material world like everyone else and gain the protection of materialistic people or the material energy, because that's turning our backs on Krishna and obviously making ourselves open to the bewilderment of Maya Devi. So, Krishna consciousness, there's no alternative to it. We need to be in Krishna consciousness to deal with the realities of the world. Just like devotees depart from this world, and therefore as a result of that we lose our loved ones. What is the difference between how materialists deal with that and devotees deal with that? Is we have transcendental knowledge, we have Krishna consciousness, we have the proper vision by which to digest, assimilate, and face these type of temporary realities, or the reality of the temporary nature of the material world. And if we're not in Krishna consciousness, then we don't know how to deal with these things. We become bewildered, we lose faith, and we take shelter in the material energy, and that should not happen. Let me now just make mention that today is Odan Shastri. And before explaining or discussing the Leela of Odan Shastri, particularly as it relates to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, it's also the installation of Radhalandaneshwara. Srila Prabhupada installed Radhalandaneshwara on this day, his first large Radha Krishna deities in Buri Place, and that took place in 1969, which is 37 years to this date. That's a long, long time. I think many of you who are listening are not even 37 years old. Anyhow, Srila Prabhupada wanted that the installation of Radha Randanishwara be a ISKCON-wide observance. So all of you out there, wherever you may be, look at a picture of Radha Randanishwara, offer your prayers to them. Srila Prabhupada was extremely fond of these deities, and he said that Randanishwara's face is just like the features of Lord Krishna. This Odan Shastri is a festival of Lord Jagannath, and what takes place is that devotees dress him in starched clothing, which is, as we'll see in the pastime, quite unusual, because starch isn't considered to be a pure thing. It's considered to be impure. And at this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come with his devotees and see Lord Jagannath, and there would be different musical bands with instruments and conch shells and bells, and the whole town would take on, Jagannath Puri would take on a festive look. And not only would Lord Jagannath wear one set of clothes, but during the day he wears many clothes, actually up until the time of Makara Sankranti, which is in mid-January. I don't have a Vaishnav calendar with me, but if you could look at it, you will see that. So he wears this type of starched clothes. It's a longer-term festival. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stay up late into the night, and he would become overwhelmed in ecstasy seeing the many different dresses that Lord Jagannath would be dressed in. And then, of course, Jagannath's also given very beautiful golden jewelry with inlaid gems and garlands and bracelets, earrings, flowers, all of these things. If you go to Puri, you can even see now where Lord Jagannath has these many flower ornaments and 16 items for special worship. And what to speak of course, Lord Jagannath's grand prasadam, offerings of boga, which are constantly being made to him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, would then go back home to his residence and be absorbed in thoughts of Lord Krishna, the same thoughts that Srimati Radharani was when Lord Krishna left for Mathura. And at that time, Saurabh Damodar and Pundarik Vidyaniti would remain together as very intimate friends, and they would discuss each other. The Chaitanya Bhagavat and Chaitanya Charitamrita describe how Pundarik Vidyaniti revealed his mind to Saurabh Damodar, because he had doubt. He says, why do the people dress the Lord in starched clothes without first washing them? In Jagannath Puri, everyone's so conscious about scriptural rules, but in scripture it says the starched clothes are considered unclean. So Swarup Damodar Goswami replied that this is a practice which is part of the religious tradition, and it's supervised by the king because he's allowing it. Therefore, it's certainly something that Lord Jagannath is allowing to take place, and it's Lord Jagannath's desire. So Pundarik Vidyaniti says, well, that's fine. If Lord Jagannath wants it, then all is well. But why is it that the priests and the Brahmins, that they're also dressing in starched clothes, and thus they're wearing contaminated clothes? Whatever Jagannath does becomes completely pure, there's no doubt. But his followers are not like him, therefore they shouldn't imitate. And he gave the example that even the king was tying a starched cloth around his head in this observance. Saurabh Damodar Goswami continued to argue that these are not transgressions, because it's part of the Odan Shastri festival, and since Lord Jagannath himself is accepting this practice, therefore he should accept it. Anyway, they're debating like this back and forth in very loving ways, sometimes holding their hands, sometimes putting their arms over each other's shoulders. And then later that night when they went to sleep, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who knew the substance of this discussion because he's the super soul in everyone's heart, he appeared in Pundarik Vidyanidhi's dream in the form of Lord Jagannath and Balaram, which is quite interesting that it wasn't Jagannath who came, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of Jagannath and Balaram. And of course, there's no difference between the two, but still, there's a difference in that one is the served and one is the servitor. And when Jagannath and Balaram appeared, they began to slap Pundarik Vidyanidhi, and welts appeared on Pundarik Vidyanidhi's cheeks, and they became very flushed. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi threw himself at Jagannath's feet and said, "Oh Lord, please forgive me, but tell me, what offense am I being punished for?" And Lord Jagannath replied, "Is that there's no end to your offenses, because just like me, my servitors do not belong to any caste, and still you're criticizing them and splitting hairs about this particular ritual of whether they're dressed in starch clothes or not starch clothes." He says this practice has been going on for a long time, even before you came here, because Pundarik Vidyanidhi wasn't from Puri, he was from what's now Bangladesh. He says, "And if you don't like this over here, then instead of finding fault, you should just leave and go away." So of course Pundarik Vidyanidhi was holding on to the Lord's feet, and he begged for his offenses and begged forgiveness. And then finally Lord Jagannath became satisfied. He said, "Anyway, I wanted to show you my compassion and blessings, and that's why I punished you." And it was really quite wonderful to receive direct punishment from the Lord. And this is how devotees should think. Sometimes we think about mercy as Krishna's kindness, but what does it mean that Krishna is being kind to us and fulfilling some desire? It means that Krishna is paying attention to us. So, but when Krishna pays attention to you and beats you, or he slaps you, or takes away what you have, then Krishna is again giving attention. And who does Krishna give attention to? Yasyaham anugrahami harishetam dananshane. Krishna gives attention to people who he especially favors. So it's a sign of recognition whether someone is being beaten, someone is being embraced. The recognition of the Lord is absolute, and therefore his servants don't really see any difference between these two things. So when Pundarik Vidyanidhi woke up, he saw that it wasn't just in his dream that his face was red, but actually his physical body, or his spiritualized physical body, also bore those same marks. So he was in great ecstasy, seeing that Krishna has been so merciful to me, that Lord Jagannath has personally come to correct me and chastise me. Satyabhama, Rukmini, Janaki, or Pradyumna, they don't receive this type of correction by the Lord. So he was really ecstatic. And when Swarup Damodar saw him that morning, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi explained what happened to him, Swarup Damodar was great ecstasy, because a friend feels great happiness when good fortune befalls his friend. Therefore, both of the friends, they began to laugh in ecstasy because they couldn't contain their happiness. And Swarup Damodar said, "My dear brother, I must admit I've never seen the likes of such a punishment. The Lord personally comes to you in a dream and chastises you. This is extraordinary." So in this way they were floating in great ecstasy, speaking about Krishna's pastimes day and night. And of course we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mother Srimati Radharani would address Pundarik Vidyanidhi as father, because he's the incarnation of Maharaj Vrishabhanu. So on the occasion of this Odhan Shasti, this is the pastime that's narrated in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat, how advanced devotees receive the mercy of the Lord. And it's connected to the events of the last week, certainly connected to the events of our lives. Therefore, we should also be always appreciative and open to Krishna's correction. After all, we're his servants, and that is the way that we're meant to be, the humble recipients of his grace, in whatever way that he wants to give us his mercy. Hare Krishna.